Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yourself, the decking is really slippery.
It is actually, yeah.
Hey, lots of mushrooms coming up.
Oh, look at that, yeah.
That's a sign of a healthy garden.
It is.
Isn't it?
The garden looks great, actually.
It's not too bad for this time of year, anyway.
There's lots of nice green stuff growing on your pond.
Yeah.
Right, we're going into the shed now because it is freezing outside. Oh, it's lovely and warm in here. Gonna close the door so no cockroaches get out. So, Collie Ennis, we're back in the critter shed.
Yeah, Colette Kinsler, here we are back again.
Nipples, no nipples.
Nipples, no nipples. Yeah, that's what we're talking about today. Welcome to another episode of Nipples, No Nipples. Yeah, so lactation in non-mammalian animals.
Yeah.
That sounds very posh, doesn't it?
I suppose first things first, what is lactation and what are mammals?
Lactation is the production of milk, nutritious milk for your young, through glands called nipples.
Okay.
That's the simplest way of putting it. Through those nip-nips.
So udders, teats.
Yeah. All the above.
Okay.
I think we're all fairly familiar with cow's udders and we can draw a discrete line from there. And even the more primitive mammals like the platypus and the echidna, why they don't have actual nipples, they have an opening, a simplistic nipple.
Right.
Could you abbreviate that? A sipple? A sipple, yeah. They have a simplistic kind of a gland that just oozes this nutritious milk out. So
right.
Mammalian, really, I suppose, it comes from those mammary glands. Mammalian trait would be to have mammary glands,
right,
to be able to produce milk and feed your young.
So that brings me then to something that was in the news recently, and it's about a spider that lactates or does something like lactation. So can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so in China, somebody noticed that a local spider, an ant-mimicking jumping spider, called, here's my Latin attempt at it, or my attempt at its Latin name, it's Togus Magnus.
Right.
Okay, Togus Magnus. So we call him TM. They were noticing that when the young were going into the nursery chamber, which the mother would web up a small chamber for them to live in, that they weren't coming out, and neither was the mother coming out to feed them.
Mm.
But yet the young were growing and there was no explanation. So the scientists collected a load of them, brought them to the lab, set up the mothers with their young in nursery chambers and didn't provide her with food. And as they watched, they noticed that the mother was initially dispensing little droplets of a fluid around the nursery chamber, around the web, which the young were feeding off. And then, after 10 days, they started feeding directly off the mother, off her epigastric tract, where her legs basically come from.
Mm.
And that's where the liquid, that's, we'll call it spider milk, was coming from. So it's really cool. It's a really interesting discovery. They had to experiment with it being scientists. So what they did was they actually painted over her tract where the milk was coming from so the young would have no access to it.
Right.
And they pretty quickly died.
Aww.
And then the next experiment they did was they took the mother away from the young after they were suckling for 20 days. And what happened was the young went out foraging, but their survival rate was halved than if she had been left with them.
Mm.
They also tested the proteins in the spider milk, and they discovered that it's 4 times the amount of proteins that you find in cow milk.
Wow.
So it's really, really nutritious. Now, the thinking behind it is that it's not so much milk as we would think of it, but it's an evolution of what we would call trophic eggs. So it's basically unfertilized eggs coming from the egg furrow that have been mushed up, for want of a better word, into a kind of a milk. So this discovery is going to make us rethink the whole process of maternal care and care in non-high sentient vertebrate animals.
Mm.
Because we always assume that you have to be an intelligent, warm-blooded animal to look
to
after,
nurture.
To nurture.
Mm.
But now we've recently, in the last 30, 40 years, we've noticed that reptiles are great parents, a lot of them.
Mm.
Amphibians are great parents. And now we're getting down to, invertebrates.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a lot of people looking very closely at spider web nurseries. We know cockroaches and other kind of insects will produce milky substances for their young. And then you have trophic eggs in the social invertebrates like ants and bees. So, it's really opening up a new door of science, which is fascinating about the care of the young in invertebrates. And I think it's a really cool discovery.
Mm. So trophic egg, that's T-R-O-P-H-I-C.
Yeah.
So tropic eggs. So tropic eggs are essentially unfertilized eggs that are produced specifically to feed offspring rather than to actually reproduce. That's cool.
Yeah, and there's a lot of really cool, especially invertebrate animals that do it, like amphibians. We have the mountain chicken frog from the Caribbean who will dig a burrow 20 inches deep into the ground. The male will call for a female, she'll come, they'll stick their backsides into the burrow and basically make this foamy nest.
Wow.
And she'll lay 30 to 40 eggs in there, but she'll lay over 25,000 eggs that are infertile into the foam. And when the young hatch out, and that's their only source of food.
Wow.
The male will hang around the burrow and protect them. And the young are completely safe from any predators. They have all the nutrients they need. And then they just metamorphose and come out as little tiny adult frogs, which is amazing,
That's just an amazing trick of evolution, isn't it? To work out a way to feed your young and they don't have to come out and be predated on. They can be safe. God, it's amazing. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of tree frogs and poison dart frogs will do something similar, because if you can imagine, they're using bromeliads and small little puddles that have formed are kind of a, you'd see them in garden centres. They're kind of the plastic looking flowers that have long triangular leaves.
Mm.
And in the centre of them, there's always water getting caught up in these little kind of micro ponds.
Yeah.
And the tree frogs, of course, are going to use them for breeding in. But because they're such a small little source of water, there's not the great ecosystem you'd have in a large body of water like a pond, and therefore not as much food. So what the tree frogs and the dart frogs have done is when they lay the egg and the tadpole emerges, the mother will go back every so often to each of the tadpoles she has in a bromeliad plant or in a little puddle on a branch. She'll go back, pop in an unfertilized egg, and that will do it for the week or the month that it's eaten. It's incredible, so there you go. There's two kind of amphibian tricks and how they use trophic eggs. There are a lot darker ways of using trophic eggs. That'd be the sharks. And the sharks are, they do live up to their fearsome reputation when it comes to trophic eggs. They're the type of horror stories. Because a lot of sharks would be pelagic, which means they'd be out in open water. They want to give their... Open water is essentially a blue desert. When you think about it, it's very...
And dangerous.
Yeah, and very dangerous. Exactly. Mm. So you want to give your young the best start. So you want to give them a good upbringing in utero.
Mm.
Inside, you want them to be strong and healthy and ready to rock and roll when they come out. So what they do is they basically produce a young and maybe two or three other baby sharks inside them. Be they eggs or small pups.
Mm.
And their reproductive organs become a battle zone for these small sharks, who basically would eat the smaller and weaker babies in utero.
Wow.
And that is a very kind of an extreme form of tropic eggs.
Oh.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So you have this slaughterhouse, this battle, this, I don't know, Colosseum-esque fight going on inside you if you're the mother shark. And I presume it's not all sharks, is it?
No, it's the mackerel shark family. So okay. It's a family of mackerel sharks. So they would have included everybody from like the great whites up until the extinct megalodon, you know.
Oh, really?
So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, really, gosh. Really hardcore animals from the get-go. They come out fighting.
Wow.
So yeah, that's an extreme version of it. And again, like on the less extreme end of it, you have ants and bees. Mm. Like the drone bees, the female drone bees will lay tropic eggs and feed the queen if she's asking for it, depending on the pheromones she's giving off. It's a really neat answer to a question that, as mammals, we've answered by providing milk to.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Where our nipples, getting mm-hmm. back to our nipple chat. Mm-hmm. But other animals have come up with a similar solution with different ways, you know. So, I think it's an interesting answer to that question.
And it's all just one great big circle of protein.
Yeah, great big circle of protein. I'm glad we came up with the mammalian answer, because I think it'd be pretty weird if women were laying eggs all over the place and stuffing them down their kids' throats. It'd be a strange world to live in.
I would not
thank
have
you evolution.
I would not have survived in the battle against five other siblings, I know that for sure.
There actually is a discus fish as well. We never talked about that. They produce a mucus on their skin, which feeds the young, which is actually quite similar to milk.
Right.
So there's another method of dispensing nutrients to your young. Yeah.
And that's one of the big evolutionary drives, isn't it? So our evolutionary drive is to stay alive, to procreate and then to keep our young alive.
Yeah. And that's one is directly attached to the other.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Amazing.
That's the big push. It's just to have the next generation replace you.
I came across something that I thought was really interesting. There's a species of flying fox of fruit bat where the male lactates and feeds the young.
That is amazing. Yeah. I never knew that. There you go. That's so cool.
And then there's some birds give their young crop milk, which is something that's secreted. It's not quite like milk, but it's more like, I think, a hard or a soft cheese substance, but that's secreted from inside their crop.
Yeah. They can't provide the true nipples.
Yeah.
Hence the
nipples.
Komodo dragons actually do a kind of a tropic egg thing. It's not the same, but it's a very interesting part of their evolution. And somebody wrote an interesting paper on it a while ago I read. The theory is because they eat a lot of buffalo and goats now, but they weren't part of the natural ecology of the islands that they lived on.
Yeah.
somebody came up with this theory, which I think is very cool, where the young are essentially born to eat smaller stuff like crickets and bugs and frogs and whatnot, birds, whatever they can get their hands mm-hmm. on. And they in turn feed the adults.
Oh, right.
So do you understand? Yeah, it's a weird system that they have where if there was no buffalo and if there was no goats or anything on the island, the dragons were probably doing okay.
Wow.
Because the teenagers would just get turned into kebabs and just provide for the next generation. So I suppose
Amazing.
It's not the same as tropic eggs, but it is a very interesting survival mechanism.
It's mind-boggling.
Look at that slug behind. That slug has evolved to get out of its cage.
Huh? Oh my God, there's a slug on a... There's a big pile of terrariums beside me.
It was probably supposed to be food for somebody and decided... to make an escape for it.
We have an escapee, yeah, the great escape.
The old great escape music in the background there.
I have a suggestion and a question.
Yeah.
Can I just grab a container, a small container mm-hmm. at random? And you can tell me what's in it, because this is such a treasure trove.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
All right, I'm going to pick up a small container now that's right beside me. It's a little Tupperware. It's about 2 inches by six. And what is in there?
Okay, so this is... this definitely has no nipples. This is a six-eyed sand spider.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so these are allegedly one of the most venomous spiders on the planet.
Trust me to pick it up first.
Yeah, exactly.
So what does it look like? Describe it to me.
The facehugger from Alien.
Yeah? Yeah, actually it is.
Without the tail?
Yeah, totally.
It's exactly like that.
And it is the colour of sand, because you have a substrate on there that mm-hmm. looks a bit like sand. It really blends in. Yeah. Jesus, the legs
are
huge.
And what they do is they'll actually lie down the sand and push the sand over them. So their eyes are sticking up. You've probably seen a lot of Facebook posts got shared of one of them doing it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So really ancient animals. So they would have evolved when Pangaea was around.
Remind me again what Pangaea is.
Pangaea was a supercontinent.
Okay.
All the continents today rammed in together in one supercontinent back in the pre-dinosaur times, way back in eons ago. And the thing about Pangaea was, because it was a supercontinent, you didn't have the weather systems that we have today. It was so big, the clouds couldn't get into the middle of it.
Right. So they sort of disappear by the time they get to the middle?
They could be around the edges of it, where you'd have a bit of green. But on it was essentially a gigantic desert. A really harsh, terrible place to live. Like, really bad. And that's where these guys evolved. If you evolved in Pangaea and you're still around today, you're going to be pretty hardcore. So... the only place you'll find them nowadays is in nasty arid deserts that have broken up from the original supercontinent. So you'll find them all over the world, more or less the same and unchanged. They're a living fossil.
Wow.
They're also a desert species. And what happens with desert species is they're quite funky when it comes to venom.
Mm.
Because if you're living in a place where food very rarely comes along, you have to make sure you have a good venom to be able to kill it, subdue it and eat it.
Mm.
You also have to make sure that you're able to defend yourself, because you're a nice piece of food. So it tends to be that invertebrates especially, and reptiles, tend to be, if they're venomous, they tend to be a lot more venomous. You know, you get the really nasty scorpions and spiders and snakes out in dry, arid areas. So they've tested these on rabbits. They haven't tested them on humans.
And we're not going to do that today.
No, we're not. We're definitely not. But the rabbits who are given small doses of venom had symptoms that were like what was it described to me as? It'd be like having Ebola, a heart attack and a stroke at the same time.
So attractive. Yeah. Oh my God. So I'm looking at it. It's the size of a house spider, which is to say the body is in two segments.
A fully grown adult.
Together it's about a centimetre.
Yeah.
And there's four legs on either side. Mm-hmm. But the legs that are bigger at the front and then successively smaller. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, it does look like the facehugger from Alien.
Yeah, they really are. The long legs at the front allow it to come out of the sand. And if you watch it hunt, it corrals its food into its mouth.
Right.
So they kind of prey on very small things, like ants and very small delicate crickets and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll corral the food into it and they'll give, I've never seen a spider give the most delicate bite ever. It's like a little tiny nip, and I've also never seen animals just go boom straight away. Wow. There's no, like, even with my Indian ornamental tarantulas and some of the more potent venom tarantulas, you always see the animal struggling for a bit to try and get out of it and then go away. But these guys, it's just like instantly, it's almost like a cartoon comedy kind of sketch. It's just straight away gone.
So how do you feed this? Because it's in a Tupperware dish that...
See that hole?
Yeah.
That's how I feed it.
Okay, so it never gets opened, obviously.
No. Not a chance.
Can they move fast?
Quite fast.
Yeah.
And when it's not in here where we're looking at it, it's in a box inside another box. So it's locked in a double box.
And what goes into that little hole in there?
So crickets. Every couple of months I'll give it a cricket.
Okay.
You could feed it and it will keep eating, but it will die really quickly because obviously it doesn't get a lot of food where it's from.
Yeah.
So you have to match it.
Yep.
It very rarely will come across water, so you don't have to give it water. Mm. It's quite happy. Most of the time in the wild, they'll live in a small area and just bury themselves in, and that's it. They'll wait. Obviously, they'll breed, but I'm not planning on breeding them. It's just a very cool animal to give, especially if I'm giving talks on venom and the different types of animals, how they produce and distribute their venom kindly. It's a really good example.
Again,
and also, it's a living fossil. It's so cool to have. Like, not for children or inexperienced keepers, but a really, really cool animal.
And again, just finding a way to survive in the harshest of conditions is extraordinary.
Crazy.
I'd imagine the young would have to disperse pretty darn fast.
I would say so.
Get the skids on them.
Yeah, exactly. There'd be no milk provided by this modern spider.
Right. Nothing else apart from ourselves has nipples in this place, I'm assuming.
Exactly. Yeah.
Seen as
I'm looking at the cages going, freaks! Look at them weirdos with their nipples.
Right, will we finish that up? We'll see you in a couple of weeks then, I guess, Collie. And that was cool.
That was milk-tastic.
And into the breach. I think it's bloody freezing cold outside, so will we head out into the... All right. Oh my God, leaving the warmth of the...
All my trees are bearing, just from a bit of wind. Winter's here.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.